Morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Monday, February 23rd, 2026, and I have the honor to have Professor Joe on with me, and we've been having a discussion about a few things that I want him to bring to your attention. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. On the internet, of course, it can go both ways, meaning in be for the bad guy, or it can be for the good guy. It all depends, because you have to have in there free will. So right now we're being blasted. It's like a fire hose on the internet with, as God has said way back, I will reveal everything in the end times. And that's what's happening right now. Mexico is on fire, and the vastness of the Epstein network is horrific, huge. And it's not just Epstein, it's an entire network, and it all culminates with, as Stu says, as of the fallen angels. Now there are some of you out there that are wondering, well, what are the fallen angels, what are not the fallen angels? Well, Stu, meeting Otis Johnson, was told what the fallen angels are. Stu, take a little time and tell them, this is for the newbie, tell them about Odip Johnson, who he was, and the, when he told you about who the fallen angels were. Go ahead.
Otis was direct. Okay, hang on a second. Excuse me.
Remember, folks, we're just having a conversation here, not a formal one.
No, I gotta blow my nose. I'm sorry. It's been super cold here for 2 days, and I've had a flu bug or something for a week now.
You're remembering your manners, Stu. You're remembering your manners.
Otis Johnson. His career began, his father was OSS, and his career, he went into the Air Force, and he went into Air Force Intelligence, and he sat on the nukes in the command center, and I can't say where it's at, but it's not Omaha, Nebraska. It's in a silo. But there's all kinds of that stuff around the country. Underground cities, everything. But Otis later worked his way up, and they trained him in the CIA because of his IQ, etc. And he ended up becoming William Casey, the director of the Central Intelligence, underneath George Herbert Walker Bush. And he was his direct assistant along with another person. So Otis was in charge. As an example, Casey needed an order signed by Daddy Bush when he was, I forgot what year this was, when he was vice president. Well, it happens to be that he had to go to Denver, Colorado. Special jet, fly out there, go into the old Navari. It's an old casino whorehouse in Denver, Colorado, that Leonard Melman, my ex-father-in-law, owned. And anyway, that's where they do this human sacrifice on the solstice, the winter and summer solstice. Now, 21st of June of each year, and the solstice varies in the winter time because of the sun, a short day, and it varies between the 19th and 22nd. But the actual thing is, once again, on the 2021st, as I recall, that they do during the winter, but they do it at the old Navari human sacrifice because it's on ley lines, as Jay Parker explained, who was raised as a Satanist, saw Bibi Netanyahu and Biden and others doing satanic ceremonies over there in Delaware, where there's a ley line, and Joe can get into that. But Otis was sent by Casey, go get this order signed. And so he says, you go through the Brown Palace Hotel and go to the ship bar, or whatever it's called there. It's on a corner. It's like a pyramid shaped. And so he went there and went down the ramp, and there's two restrooms, men and women. And there's another door, and that other door opens up, and it goes into a tunnel that goes underneath part of Denver. I hear that they've opened that up a little bit more, and started putting businesses in there. But that tunnel goes to the old Navarre. He says he goes over there, follows instructions, knocks on the door, and he says, some goon as tall as he was, 6-something. He was tall, Otis was. Anyway, good size, and the bodyguard comes the door, opens the door, and he says, "What do you want?" He says, I want to see the vice president. I got to see George Bush." So anyway, Bush comes the door about 5 minutes later, and they open it up. He says, "Step in, Otis." And he steps in. He's got a black hood on and black robe and all this other satanic worship they're doing, killing a kid and drinking its blood, infant. And they kidnap it from around Denver and the whole bit. And there was one guy that got nailed. I had it on my site, and after the show, I tried to put it together. But he got caught in Oklahoma trying to kidnap a kid for the human sacrifice in Denver. But Otis said, he shows him the order, and Bush is reading it, and he says, "Mr. President, I recognize your voice," but he says, "I must see your face," he says, "to verify that you." So Bush pulls back his hood, and Bush is reading the order of case he needed. And Bush tells Otis. Otis is looking around. He sees this infant up there on some bed-looking thing, and you know, all these weirdos hanging around and drinking this thing of blood. And Bush says, he signs the order and says, "Now, Otis," he says, "if you ever reveal what you just saw in here to anyone," he says, "I'm going to come personally kill you." He says, "Yes, sir," and he left. Now, that was one thing. Now, William Casey died after Bush went to his home and put a needle in his temple and caused him a cerebral hemorrhage, and he was laid in Bethesda Hospital for roughly 10 days before he died. But he ran his mouth about Iran-Contra and everything that Bush had done to the country, robbing, looting, stealing, and the whole bit. And Otis told me he had gone and seen him, and he revealed to him what had happened, because Casey was going to go testify against Bush in Congress and tell him he was out of control and had to be arrested and shut down. So Bush murdered him. Well, anyway, that was another thing. But let me go further. I met him when he was busting the Louisiana governor in 1992 to 1993. In federal prison in Denver and Inglewood, where they held me as a political prisoner for exposing Iran-Contra, HUD, savings loan, mortgage fraud later, and all kinds of other, tied around Leonard Melman, my ex-father-in-law that owned Silverado, where Neil Bush, the president's son, was the director. Okay, Iran-Contra money laundering, which created, by the way, Blackstone, BlackRock, largest bank in the world, and it's all drug money initiated, which the government can confiscate it and take it down. Now, Otis later, after Bush finds out, he was in protective custody, going to testify, and his roommate inside that jail cell where I was at, this detention center in Inglewood, Colorado, there were two big units in there, and everybody had these cells, but they were double bunker. Well, anyway, Otis was in there, and the guy that was in there with him was the guy that busted John Gotti, and he was in protective custody. So there were several people from this William Casey operation that were still operational, and they found out that they were, and they took them and threw them in the hole in Nevada, in the hole for a year and a half. Now, Otis, he had given me his information because he thought he was going to leave after testimony and the whole bit. And instead, he got arrested and or put in a hole because of Bush over this busting the Louisiana governor. So, go a little further with this. Why I'm in there with the two of them. Of course, Otis gave me his contact information, his son's number, and so forth. But I met Billy Jack, who was Leonard Peltier, the longest-held whistleblower that I'm aware of in history. 50 years almost in prison. He just got out here a while back. But I helped him get out because of the former U.S. Attorney General. A girl came to me in Las Vegas to testify against Ted Gunderson. It's a long story. She was a reporter, part Indian, and when she wanted to do a story on me, and later it became She, when I told her about Pelletier, she couldn't resist, and so she contacted him. He transferred through there, and it was put in the hole in Supermax down in Colorado Springs, or Pebble. And he came out of Illinois Supermax, but they have this underground facility 6 stories below ground for prisoners, drive them crazy and make them nuts. Pelletier was stuck there until I got, that reporter. She contacted the former attorney general. He runs AI something. Ramsey Clark represented Pelletier and got him out after all those years. Now, I met him. I met interesting people. I met 2,000 Iran-Contra players and 500 federal agents that were trying to bust many of those people. And he sent us to Springfield to be evaluated, said nothing, government shrinks, said nothing was the matter with me. Well, Otis and I became friends. And I remodeled his house, which he was up in Nebraska. He called me up and said, hey, come up here. He says, it's going to take you probably 6 months to a year. And so he says, kind of pre-playing around your other customers. This was after I was out. But Otis ended up working directly for E-Systems, where Daddy Bush could monitor him after he got out of jail. And E-Systems has a satellite where they shoot you. He looked me up. He says, Stu, you're Stonard. In other words, Stonar Technology from E-Systems, which is Raytheon Corporation, a defense contractor, has these satellites they shoot you with, and they hit me every day. Otis said they're doing it to break down your immune system. So I have to take all these vitamins, certain ones, iron and potassium, magnesium, and the other things to stay alive. But Otis got transferred out of there. He finally moved his way out, and the whole bit out of the CIA into the NSA. Before his death, he worked directly for General Flynn, General Michael Flynn. I saluted Michael Flynn, putting him on an airplane at the airport up in Grand Island, Nebraska. Pulled in there with special clearance, driving his Cadillac while I was remodeling his house. He asked me to drive him up there rather than my work van. So I took him up in the Cadillac. Matter of fact, I kind of exceeded the speed limit because he says, Stu, he says, I can't drive over 80. Can you do over 80? I said, yeah. So I took it up to 120, his Cadillac. This four-door had the Corvette engine in it, straight passing cars like crazy to get him to the airport. General Flynn is waiting for him. We pull in there and he shows us NSA security clearance and they ask me for my driver's license and all that. And said, okay, you pass. So we pull up there, and here's a ramp going up to the airplane, markings on it, but you can't tell it's a general's airplane. And Otis gets out, pops the trunk, gets his luggage, dragging along with wheels on it, goes over to the ramp, and General Flynn comes out and salutes him. He salutes him back, and then General Flynn looks over at me, salutes me, and I salute him back, and drove off. But Otis worked directly for him. And Otis said, Stu, he says, if Mueller on that fake Russia dossier stuff tied to Hillary Clinton, and they were having hearings, he says, Stu, if Mueller doesn't do his, don't worry about him, Stu, if he doesn't do his job and arrest Hillary Clinton and all these others for this, he says, I'm going to personally go arrest Mueller. 2 months later, he's dead. I called him up. He wasn't in his house, so I called his cell number, and he says, if I don't answer the cell, if you ever call it, he says, just hang up. I said, okay, after 6 rings. So I called his cell, and his son answers. And he says, Stu, how are you doing? I said, okay. I said, what's going on? Where's your dad? He says, he's in the hospital here in Omaha, up there at the VA hospital. But he says, he wants to talk to you. He had a heart attack. So anyway, he puts a phone down his ear. He said, Stu, they got me this time. He said, they hit me with Stonar. He says, I feel death coming on. I said, Otis, I'm sorry. He says, Stu, stay up with it. Keep up the work. He says, I got to get out of here. So the next day I call, see if he's okay. And he was on the road going into Heidi. He was ended. His son called me a week later and said he was dead. Now, General Flynn 2 weeks after Otis's death, General Flynn was falsely indicted to remove him because of what they were on to. General Flynn needs to reveal everything. I mean, it's very, very serious. Now, Jim Fetzer just called. Let's bring him in, Joe. Hang on. Jim?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hang on. Okay, we're on the air. I'm on with Joe, and he wanted to bring you into this, but I want to...
Still, I'm doing a live show right now.
Oh, okay. Buddy, I'll let you go. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
You got it.
Joe? Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to have to be two parts.